Take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke in the New Testament. Luke chapter 1. Most of you, no doubt, have heard of the wise men who sought out Jesus. What did they follow? His star, exactly. Now, the Bible tells us that there were wise men who did seek out Jesus. We assume there were three because three gifts are mentioned, but we really don't know how many there were. We don't. We assume there were three because of the gifts. Anybody remember the gifts? What were they? An Xbox? What was it? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Exactly. We may talk about that next week. They were called the Magi, and tradition even has named them. Balthazar of Arabia, Melchior of Persia, and Gaspar of India. Problem is, that's not Bible. That's just tradition. The truth is, we don't know their names or even how many there were. But how many of you have heard of the three wise women? They're there. They're in the book. And we know their names. So I want to share with you this morning the three wise women of Christmas. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you and thank you for the privilege of being here today behind the sacred desk. Thank you, Father, for what we've seen, what we've heard today already. Thank you for the program last night, Father. It was excellent. We thank you for those who participated, those who prepared. I ask you today, Father, that you would help, that this would be a blessing, that you would take this word today and that, Lord, you would use it for your glory. I thank you for our women, and I'm asking you that you would speak to their hearts, and God, that you would use your word. And Lord, I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher, so I ask for your anointing on this. Again, it would be a blessing. Thank you for your mercies and grace. Be with those unable to be here. Lord, I'm grateful that my wife's here today, and pray that you continue to help her and be with others as well who have undergone surgery or are facing it in the days to come. We pray for them. Thank you for your mercies and grace. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Now, it's significant when you look in the Bible that the Bible does give us three wise women of Christmas. And I'll tell you why. In Jewish culture, though it was not biblical, the average Jew in Jesus' day, not Jesus, but the average Jew, had this philosophy. There was a rabbi that prayed a prayer, and here's what he prayed. Listen carefully. He prayed this prayer. He said, God, I thank you that I am not a dog, that I was not born a dog, meaning a Gentile, or born a woman. It was looked at as being one notch above a dog in their culture to be a woman. Let me tell you what Jesus did. Jesus elevated womanhood to where God intended it to be. The women's liberation movement hasn't elevated a single woman. But Jesus has elevated all women. It's interesting, if you watch Jesus' ministry compared to Jewish culture, you see, in Jewish culture, women were not allowed to be trusted as witnesses in legal cases. They were viewed as less than in their society. They were blamed for many of the ills in society. And as I said, that one rabbi that prayed that prayer set the tone of that culture. And what Jesus did is he did what he usually does with the thoughts and ideas of people. Jesus walked into the middle of it and busted it wide open. Women had an integral part in Jesus' ministry. Would you agree? Absolutely. Wherever he went, there were women that ministered, that helped, that had an active part. When Jesus rose from the dead, he picked and chose who would be his first witnesses, and guess who they were? Women. And remember, in the culture, you couldn't trust a woman as a witness. So even when they came back and told the apostles that they had seen the Lord, what did they do? They ran to see for themselves. But Jesus is the one that elevates women to where God would have them to be. Now, ladies, I'm going to preach to you today. Is that all right? Because I want you to understand the place God has you and where he holds you and how He views you. You are an incredible gift. And God wants you to know that today, because you see, many women drag a ball and chain behind them of what they're not. How their dreams haven't been realized, and how they haven't become what they thought they'd be, or things they've done in their past that they drag along with them. The Bible says that Jesus, if He makes you free, He'll make you free indeed. Jesus wants you to cut that ball and chain of your past and live for Him. God wants you to be an encouragement, and He wants you to be encouraged. God wants to bless you, and He wants you to be a blessing. And I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, you ladies are a blessing to not only this pastor, but to this church. I have sense enough to know in the years that I've pastored, over 40 now, that without godly, good women in a church, the church would fold up. And I'm going to say this as kindly as I can. The reason being is because most men are too sorry to take responsibility. Now, that's an owie, I know, because I are one. But the truth of the matter is, part of that is because God views you absolutely on equal terms with men. The Bible says in Christ there's no male or female. We get to heaven, there's not going to be a sexual distinction, though we'll know each other. We're not going to marry or be given in marriage. My wife has promised me she's going to hang around my porch in heaven. I try to remind her it's heaven. It'll be all right. Yeah, yeah. Well, I got one. His name is Jesus. Yeah. But I want you to understand again that in the Christmas story, we don't know the wise men's name, but God gives us three wise women associated with the birth of Christ. So I hope you'll take time and journey through chapters 1 and 2 of Luke. There'll be several things to read, but I don't want to lose you. I want you to grab hold of this as we look at these three women. The first one is found in chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, if you'll look with me. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Let me tell you about Elizabeth. Her name means, "The Lord is my oath." The Lord is my oath. And she had the distinction, she was going to become the mother of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is a critical character because Scripture promised that when the Messiah come, there would be someone that would prophesy that would go before him and it would clear the way. In other words, in those days, when a king would come, he had a person who was paid. Now, Ronald works on roads. He can tell you, you can't just grab a road the way it is. You got to go grind up that old pavement and get it out of the way before you can lay the new in most cases. Am I right? Big chunks of rock don't belong in the middle of the road. Well, in those days, there was somebody that always went before the king's party, a group of men who made sure that the roads and all the potholes were filled in, that all the big rocks were out of the way, and that the way was clear. John the Baptist's job was to clear the road to get Israel ready for Jesus' arrival. His mama's name is Elizabeth. And again, I want you to understand, her name basically means that God is my oath. She is totally and absolutely dedicated to the Lord. Look what it says in verse 6 and following. It said of her and her husband, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. They were old. And what happens, for time's sake, I won't read all the verses. Basically, Zechariah was a priest. He's doing his priestly duties. And while he's in the temple one day, an angel appears to him and says, "Your wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby. And you're going to call him John." Now that's significant. Because you see, the name of the firstborn son was almost always the same as the dad's. He should have been called, if society was calling the shots, Zechariah the second. But he said, the angel said, "You're going to call him John." And so it goes down, and what happened was he kind of doubted this was the Lord. And so what happened is the Lord said, okay, I'm going to prove it's me. You're not going to be able to speak until the child is born. So he came out of the temple duties that day totally unable to speak. And all he could do is kind of make signs with his hands and write down on a tablet, as it were, what happened. So he goes home, no doubt. He tells Elizabeth what's going to happen. We pick up again in verse 24 and following. And it says, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Then if you'll jump down with me into verse 39, we find that Mary comes to visit Elizabeth. And in verse 39 it says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. She's saying this to Mary, of course. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, talking about Jesus. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe, talking about John, leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now jump down to verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, that would have been the day of circumcision for the baby, and that's also the day they would be named, the day came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Now let me put all this together, what you read. Ladies, I'm going to present to you some key characteristics of a wise woman of God by compiling these three women and the traits in their lives and who they were to give you, as it were, an example of what God expects if you're going to be the woman God wants you to be. To start with, we see the spiritual sensitivity of Elizabeth. She was spiritually sensitive. Now, everybody has different levels of spiritual sensitivity. I know some who have no spiritual sensitivity at all. I mean, I'm not being unkind, but over the years in ministry, I've met some women that if they had any spiritual sensitivity, you couldn't tell it. Now, you probably know some. Don't call any names, okay? Be kind. But Elizabeth wasn't that person. Elizabeth was a person who had deep spiritual sensitivity. So much so that when she came into the presence of Mary carrying baby Jesus, John leaped in her womb, and she knew and associated. Let me say this, Mom. Your influence cannot be measured on your children from the womb to the tomb. Never underestimate what God has given you if He's allowed you to be a mom. Most moms say that they feel like failures most of the time. Mom, I want you to be honest with me. If you're here and you're a mom and you've ever felt like a failure, say, oh me. But I want you to know how God views you. He wants you to be a person of spiritual sensitivity. That is to understand and know, to have that kind of dedication. You see, it says in that, we looked in chapter 1, in verse 6, it said they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. If you want to know how to have spiritual sensitivity, ladies, get in this book and let this book get into you. God will help you understand what's right and wrong. God will help you understand what to do, from raising your children to taking care of that goofy husband of yours. Amen. Connie Sue.
Amen.
It can help you to develop spiritual sensitivity. But she was dedicated. She had dedication. The Bible has a word for that. It calls it sanctified. To be sanctified means to set aside for holy use. Now, I'll probably wear one next week, but I wore one last night, but I didn't wear a necktie today. Do you know what a necktie is? It's a strip of cloth when it's hanging in your closet. But when you put it around your neck and tie a knot, you sanctify it. You put it for its intended use. God sanctified Elizabeth. He had a plan for her life. In Jewish society, she was just another woman. She was just a woman, just one of those she-males. There's bunches of them everywhere, outnumbered men. Looked down in society. They were nobodies in their society. But Elizabeth was a somebody to God. And I want you to get a hold of this. You are a somebody to God. Say amen. I want you to repeat after me. I'm a somebody to God. Oh, that's weak, ladies. We're going to have to do better than that. I want you to say it again. I am a somebody to God.
I am a somebody to God.
Amen. And you are. Now believe that, what you just said and what you just heard, because God wants you to hear it and He wants it to sink into your heart. Now I'm not saying any of you ladies could possibly ever be hard-headed. But God help if you won't listen to God. And I'm telling you, God is trying to tell you, you are a somebody to Him. Many women go through their lives feeling like they don't measure up. Feeling like failures. They did a survey among some of the most beautiful women in society, and every one of them felt less than or that they had failed in some regard. And many women, thousands of women, want to be like them, want to buy their makeup, wear their hairstyle, their clothes, want to be like them, and they all felt like failures. I'm telling you, ladies, if you try to model yourself after this world and after Hollywood, you will fail. You will always come short. But when you get to see yourselves the way the Father sees you, as one of His daughters, as a princess to the King, with royal blood flowing through your veins, you see yourself the way God sees you, it'll change your life. Now, I want you to know that God sees you as someone special. You say, well, life hadn't been special to me. Would you stop it? Would you stop it and understand that life is not true to you and you're not home yet, but one day you're going to go home and Amanda, the Father's going to tell you personally how much you mean to Him. I know Ronald does. And your babies do in their way. I know that. But I'm telling you, there's a Father in heaven one day. He's going to throw His arms around you and tell you how proud He is of you. And to every one of you, He's going to do the same thing one day. And why in the world would you trade that for anything this whole world's got? I would rather hear the well done of my Father, thou good and faithful servant, than to have the applause of a huge audience in Hollywood. Then why in the world are we chasing after that dream to be like the world and act like the world and smell like the world and talk like the world when you are a daughter of the King? Why would you stoop to be less than who God wants you to be? And Elizabeth was dedicated, but she wasn't high-headed. She didn't have the big head. What she did have was true dedication and true devotion. What she had in devotion is long progress in the right direction. Ladies, I know that God's got a plan for you, but you're not there yet. He's not done. As a matter of fact, I've got it on good confidence that He doesn't finish till you get home. The final dab of makeup's not done. Your eyeliner's not finished till you get in the presence of the King. Then you won't need any of that stuff. Though I will say for right now, even an old barn looks good with a little paint. Amen. If I just went in the wrong direction. Say, Chip, you were doing so good. You had to be a guy. But I want you to understand her spiritual sensitivity is shown through her dedication and her devotion, but also her discernment. Do you understand what discernment is? Discernment comes with maturity. And as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you learn that it's not always the best thing to open your mouth and say what you want to say. Did you hear what I said, ladies? Sometimes the best thing you can do is shut your mouth. Say amen or oh me. I'm telling you, it can be the best thing, but wait. Sometimes you need to open your mouth. Do you know what God said? He said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. He's talking about prayer. Do you understand the power that rests on your knees? When they were little, you bounced them. Now you can't. But I can tell you what, your knees still come in handy, ladies. You hit those knees and you watch angels in heaven step back. You watch the Father push up on His throne and bend His ear towards you. Don't think that He doesn't care about your prayers and what you've got to say. Sometimes the best thing you can do is shut your mouth. Unless you're mad at your husband, of course, then you should always talk. The silent treatment. I'm going to camp there for a second. You know how worthless the silent treatment is? Number one, now men, just hang on. We're clueless. Say amen, men. Oh, that was weak. You don't even know your own shortcomings. Let me help you out. We don't have a clue. Say amen, guys. We walk in the door. A, we don't know what we did or didn't do. 9 times out of 10. And then so what you do, you puff up and go to the silent treatment. We say, what's wrong? And you go, nothing. What's wrong?
I said, nothing. Leave me alone.
Well, you look like you've just been baptized in vinegar and sucking off a dill pickle. What's wrong? Don't use the silent treatment. We are really, seriously, listen to me, ladies, we're that dumb. Tell us. Now, if that's true with men and God, do you think He's dumb? No. He's not dumb at all. Then why don't you spend more time communicating with Him? I believe that Elizabeth was a woman of prayer. She's not the only one in this group. As a matter of fact, it's one of the traits that runs through all three of these women. They were all praying women. They all did. She had discernment. Now, I would probably get in an argument with other preachers if they tried to tell me their cooks were better than our cooks. We got some good cooks. Yeah, amen. Preach it, preacher. I live it. Let me tell you, we got some good cooks. And the truth of the matter is, some of them, you ask them for a recipe, some of them got it. Boy, they can rattle it off. Others go, well, I don't really have one. I just put a little of this and a little of that. Well, how do you know how much? I just do. You know what that's called? Listen to me. Discernment. Over a period of time, you've understood how much yeast to put in and how much not to. You've understood how much vanilla extract it needs without having to use a measuring cup or spoon. Because over time, you've got discernment. And what Elizabeth had, she had spiritual discernment. And she walked with the Lord, listened to His word, and served in the ministry alongside her husband. She developed discernment, spiritual discernment. She could sense, no doubt, when somebody was hurting. If you've got that gift, by the way, don't ignore it. Some women take it and use it as a method of gossip. Don't do it. Don't take something good God's given you and twist it into something bad. Take it as an opportunity to pray for that person. Do you know that you can change people without saying a word to them? Through prayer and prayer alone, you can see God touch and change people. You have an incredible power about you. As men, we often brag about being the head, but we know who the neck is, don't we, Ron? Amen. I gotta let that sink in again. Some of you just totally didn't get that. We men like to brag on being the head, but we know who the neck is. Amen. Tells the head to. Yeah. But listen to me, ladies. Don't ever use that power for evil. That power ought to be used to help and support your husband. And support and help your family. And support and help the ministry you're involved in. Use that for God's glory. Not only that, we see in Elizabeth that she had spiritual dependence. She trusted God to keep His promises. And she had dependability. She followed through. She was trustworthy. So ladies, I'd say, if you're going to be like Elizabeth, be spiritually sensitive. The second lady, you're probably more akin to knowing, and she's down in the first chapter as well. Her name is Mary. You ever heard of her? Yeah? You know what her name means? Listen carefully. Because this is very important. I don't want you to miss this. Mary's name means obstinate and stubborn. Now, wait a minute. Don't go the wrong way with that. Listen. Mary's name means stubborn, obstinate, or rebellious. In other words, when the angel came to Mary, if she was true to the name that was put on her, what she should have told God was, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. You know any ladies like that? Don't name any names. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what makes me feel good. I'm tired of trying to please everybody else. That's what Mary means. But that's not who Mary was. Listen carefully. Too many of you ladies live on the tags that somebody's put on you. Not who you really are. You know, there's probably in your lifetime people who have torn you down. Who have called you names, who have made fun of you or disrespected you. And you've taken that to heart. And every once in a while, you hear those voices come up. And you start listening to them again. Those same voices. Men hear these voices too, by the way. They say things like this. You're stupid. You've wasted your life. You're done for. Why don't you just give up? You're sorry. Those voices that come up, I can tell you who they're not from. They're not from God. Now what Mary did, if you'll look down with me, she went totally against what her name indicated she was. Look in verse 26 of chapter 1 and following. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Oh, the angel should have said, this is going to be a waste of time. God, why did you send me to somebody named stubborn and obstinate? Why did you send me to somebody that's rebellious, God? Well, look at the message. Verse 28, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. By the way, Mary was probably about Annie's age. She was probably between 14 and 16 years old. When the angel of the Lord appeared unto her and told her what you and I have privy to today, and we read this, she was merely a teenager. Now notice this. By the way, I'm not saying teenagers can be rebellious. Amen. Anyway. Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now listen to the rebel. Listen to the stubborn one. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from me. You know what Mary said? Whatever you want, God. Whatever you want. That's who I'll be, God. That's who I'll be, God. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whoever you want me to be. And ladies, let me tell you, that's not a bad place to start. Amen. You say, well, you don't know my husband, or you don't know my ex-husband, or you don't know how stubborn. Quit using excuses for who you are by what somebody else isn't. You are to be a child of the king and a princess, and you have royal blood in your veins. It doesn't matter who you're saddled with and what's going on in your life. You are a daughter of the king. Did you hear what I said? Amen. You should square your shoulders and you should thank him every day that he has included you in his household. You are somebody to God. Quit acting like a nobody. Get your lip back in and quit pouting about how things are rotten in your own life, and hold your head up and realize that you matter to the king, and it's time for you to quit being stubborn and obstinate and rebellious and be the Mary you ought to be by saying, I'm yours, Lord. Whatever, God, I'm yours. When are you going to get tired of doing it your way? As Dr. Phil says, how's that working for you? It's a vicious cycle. You paint yourself into this place that is not where God wants you to be, and you keep reinforcing why you're stuck there, and you want to blame everybody. Blame your husband. Blame life. Blame everything. Stop it. It's time to grow up, stand up, and put up, and shut up. And tell God that you'll do what he wants you to do and be who he wants you to be. He has called you into royalty. Why are you empty in bedpans? Why are you throwing away the slop in this world when God has raised you to be better than that? I'll tell you why. There's too many settle when they should submit and say, God, I'll be whoever you want me to be. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Oh God, dear ladies, I pray you have spiritual sensitivity like Elizabeth. And have deep submission like Mary. What would have happened had Mary not submitted? Well, I don't know that God's plan would have stopped cold. But you know what? God wants to use you, not somebody else. He gave you the children you have because he trusted you with them. Because he knew you're the mama they need. Sometimes being that mama means saying no. Stop bailing them out. Stop helping them. I don't want to be crude, but it's time to stop nursing them. Especially when they're grown. Be the woman you want to be in Christ and that God wants you to be, and let it start today. Now ladies, I'm not done. Because you see, there's a third. Before I leave there, let me say this. I don't want you to miss this point. A wise woman will always rise above what others think she is. Do you hear me? A wise woman will always rise above what others think you are. Did you ever get picked at in school? Called fat? Ugly? And those voices are still back in there. Every once in a while, they'll raise up, don't they? It's time to tell them to shut up and start listening to the king who says, you are part of my bride. You are part of the bride of Christ. You are royalty, my lady. You are royalty, your highness. God has called you. He has anointed you. He has a plan for you. Sometimes life doesn't go the way you expect it. Oh, such is the case for our next lady. Turn over to chapter 2 of Luke. The baby Jesus has been born. They've gone to Bethlehem. And as the law commanded, on the eighth day, they took Jesus to be circumcised. And he would be named. He'd be called, believe it or not, his name was Yeshua. It's the name we call Joshua. Jesus, same name. Next time you get mad at a Hispanic for naming their kid Jesus, and your kid's name's Joshua, you got no leg to stand on, okay? Very common name. They named him Jesus. And there was a priest there. His name was Simeon. Look in verse 25. It says, the same man was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And look in verse 36 and following. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. In other words, she'd only been married 7 years and she was widowed. Back in that day, it was not uncommon for a 14-year-old. That was the age of consent. Was around then. They would marry. So it's very possible she was married as a teenager, and in her early 20s, her husband died and she never remarried. What she did instead is she went to the temple. And she served. And so she was there at the temple that day serving. What she had done, the Bible says, if you'll read down. And she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So here's Anna, doing what she'd done for 84 years. Miss Ella, how long have you been a Christian? How old were you when you gave your heart to Jesus? You remember?
19.
How old are you now?
91.
You've been serving him a while, haven't you? What do you think it'd be like if in all them years about hearing about Jesus coming back, and you've trusted him and you've stayed faithful, what if he came back today? That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Here is a lady serving in the temple. 84 years. She's in that temple, 84 years old. She's serving in the temple. And like she did every day, she was praying. And multiple times throughout the week, she would fast. And she lifted up her eyes this day that was like every other day, except there he was. By the way, ladies, that's the only perfect man. And by the way, he's the only one that can change your man. She looks up and she sees the baby Jesus. All those years of serving God, she could have remarried, but instead she kept serving God. And let me tell you, ladies, though many don't believe it, there are better things than being married. And she discovered that she would give herself lock, stock, and barrel to serve God. Her name actually is Hannah. It means grace and favor. Her life was marked by service. She served gracefully. She served faithfully. She served prayerfully. And she served joyfully. And then, And verse 38 says, and she coming in that instant. The wording means this. She happened to go by that part of the temple where Zechariah was holding Jesus and blessing. She happened to go there. Did you know you just so happened to be here today? I doubt it. You see, God is full of mystery and wonder, and He has divine appointments, and you, my dear sister, are here today by divine appointment, and God knew you'd be here because He loves you and He's crazy about you, and He stirred the heart of the preacher to preach a message He'd never preached before about ladies, and He knew you'd be here so you can get the message that you matter to Him, and He's got a plan for your life. When are you going to give in to Him and let Him have your life? Today's your day. You see, she happened to be there. It says in verse 38, she coming in that instant, just so happened, that split second of time, had she been a few seconds earlier or later, she'd have passed by and never saw Jesus. But at that very instant in time, her path crosses right in front of the Savior. And though He was an infant, she is a prophetess. She sensed in her spirit who this was. And it says, in that instant, she gave thanks likewise. She heard Zechariah crying, tears running down his face, and saying, I've done it. I've seen the Lord's Christ. And she comes in at that instant, and she too gets wrapped up in the moment, and she realizes it's Jesus. And she begins to rejoice. All those years of service have finally borne fruit. The whole reason for the priesthood, the whole reason for the sacrifices, was to bring Israel to that place where Christ would cross their road and in their path where they would meet. And here's a woman. Oh, it must have been terrible for her as a teenage girl. Her heart, I can't imagine what it was like, but she must have been goofy in love with this guy. I don't know how they met, doesn't tell me, and I just kind of, my mind wanders, and I picture he's walking through the market one day, and she's over there doing her thing, and man, he looks over, and she, ooh. Then her eyes meet, and then they all start getting gooey, and they loved each other. He went to the parents. They worked it out between the two of them. And they ended up getting married. And oh my goodness, 7 years of heaven. Oh my goodness, 7 years of heaven. But then in that seventh year, one day she got up to go do what she usually did. And the word came, your husband's dead. Like a knife in her heart, no doubt. It must have broke her tender, sensitive heart. Instead of going south and letting her life go to ruin, She ran toward God, not away from. Listen to me, ladies. When trouble comes, don't make the mistake of running from God. Listen to me. Don't run from God, run to God. So what she did in that day, she decided to run to God when everything fell apart. She went to the one that holds everything together. And for her life, year after year after year, as her teenage years passed, and as a young woman, as she'd see others going about their business and couples coming to the temple to worship, she still had no man. She had dedicated herself to serve God. But no doubt, there was still somewhere in her mind's eye a memory of that man that she had loved so dearly. But she knew this. She couldn't bring him back, but she could go where he was. And so she gave herself to do that. And all in the priesthood, all in the temple, there was constant talk, no doubt, of the prophets and what they said about the coming Messiah. And now there was a murmuring about that something had happened and a baby had been born. Word got to the temple. She saw Jesus. And all of a sudden, it all made sense. What would happen if today God started letting some things make sense to you? That you started seeing, instead of everything being chaos, you started seeing things falling into place. Because I'm here to tell you, dear ladies, God has got a plan for you that is amazing. And when are you going to surrender to it? You say, well, if this will change and that will change, it'll be better. Why are you waiting? Today's the day to submit yourself to God and let Him change you. I'm going to ask you this question. Will you be like Anna and say, God, I'll serve you the rest of my days. Because you know what? One day you will see Jesus. Do you hear me? You absolutely will. Job said, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh, I will see, with these eyes, I will see my Redeemer. Would you stand with me, please? Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. Ladies, I want you to know that God sent this message to you. That indeed most people have heard about the wise men who sought out Jesus. But some have never heard of the three wise women of Christmas, but now you have. There are characteristics and key characteristics in these wise women that will help and guide any woman to become the woman God intended her to be throughout the year if they'll just apply it to their lives. First of all, you need to become spiritually sensitive. You do that by surrendering your life and heart to Jesus. And then give Him yourself, lock, stock, and barrel. Secondly, submit to the Lord. As Mary did, say to God, God, I'm your hand servant. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. She is a wise woman, rose above what others called her. They called her stubborn and obstinate and rebellious, and instead she submitted and gave herself to God. God blessed not only her, but the whole world. And thirdly, we see the service of Anna. You really can't serve God till you submit to God, and you really can't submit to God till you're saved by God. What's your condition today, ladies? I want you to understand that God has got a place for you. What I want to do now, with everybody standing, heads bowed, I'm going to pray. And I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there are any ladies in here that would like for me to pray for them. I won't call you by name, but I will pray for you. Would you raise your hand, ladies? God bless you. God bless you all over the house. God bless you. Then I'm going to pray. And while I'm praying, if you need to come and tell God that you're going to be His woman, and you're going to do what He wants you to do, and you want to give your heart and life to Him, lock, stock, and barrel, then step out and come and kneel and do it. If you can't get down on your knees, come sit on the front pew and do it. Father, we bow before You, and I thank You for the privilege of being in Your house. This time of year is wonderful. This opportunity is wonderful. You've met with us this morning in song. You met with us this morning, God, in Your Word. And Lord, I do mean what I said, God. I want this to be a blessing. And You have spoken to hearts. I believe that. Would You give the women here courage to step out right now and come and say, God, I'm Yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. God, I'm Yours. If you're in the middle of a pew, they'll move and let you out. Come on. This is your time. Say, God, I'm Yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. God, I'm Yours. I want to be Your Elizabeth. I want to be Your Mary. I want to be Your Anna. I want to be who You want me to be. If that's you, ladies, step out right now. Step out right now. And pray right now. As others are come, would you come and pray? This is your time. Come on, right now. Any other ladies, come on. Come on. Come on. You need to come. Come on. Come on. Father, as we pray together, as these ladies come before You and they give themselves to You new and afresh, and God, as they pour out themselves before You, I ask You to accept it. God, You know their hearts. You know they mean business. Now I'm asking You to change their hearts and lives in a way they can't even understand. For Your glory and Your good, starting this very minute. God, You would give them the courage to step forward and live for You. That You would make the changes in their hearts and lives and homes that You want made, Father. and that you would use them to be who you want them to be. Now, God, as I come down, I pray for them. God, I pray for my sisters. I pray, Father, that you would put your hand on them, that you would help them to understand the place to start is with a relationship with you and restoring it. God, if it's been broken, God, give them the courage this morning to say that to you, Father. And I know you will accept them as they trust Christ to be their Lord and their Savior. And I pray, Father, as they surrender their lives to you, God, that you would direct them and use them. I ask you, Father, that you would just move upon them in a special way and that they would know that, God, you've met with them today. And God, help them to know how much you care about them, how much you love them, Father. And I ask you to touch them, Lord, throughout this year that's coming up, Father. That you would give them wisdom, Lord, as they interact with their families, God. That you would bless them and help them to know what to say and not to say and what to do and not to do. That you would give them clear direction in their lives. And I pray, Father, that you would use them for your kingdom's glory. That you would put your hand upon them in a special way. And they would know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they would know that they are where they need to be in you. God, help them to see themselves as you see them, daughters of a king. God, help them, we pray. Give them strength and grace. And thank you for your mercies. And we love you, Father. And all God's people said, amen. It has been good to be in the house of the Lord today. I wonder today if any of the ladies in here have a word of testimony before we go. Be obedient to the Lord. Anybody? Mind the Lord.
Brother Chip, life beats you down, but God's stronger, and He can make it stronger. And I need the prayer of the church because many difficult things that I've come facing right now. But I want to face it with an attitude of Anna. Over. Sometimes when you wish it was. God always has a plan. And He has a plan for me.
Amen.
And there's somebody that I need to help.
Amen.
That I need to do the things that I do in a godly way.
Crystal, go ahead.
I'm thankful for my family. He leads with me every day. He never lets me down.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for the women in this church. We have got an amazing group of women. Mm-hmm. They're not afraid to share their fears or problems that they've had in life. And they don't know how much that helps sometimes. I love our women's
Sunday school class. And I just love the women here. All of them. Amen. It's been good to be in the Lord's house today, hasn't it? Would everybody stand, please, and we'll be dismissed. I'll ask Diane if she will to dismiss us in prayer.
All the